reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Paul and Barnabas continued on from Perga and reached Antioch in Pisidia. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and took their seats. Many Jews and worshipers who were converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who spoke to them and urged them to remain faithful to the grace of God. On the following Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and with violent abuse, contradicted what Paul said. Both Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and condemn yourselves as unworthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light to the Gentiles, that you may be an instrument of salvation to the ends of the earth." The Gentiles were delighted when they heard this, and glorified the word of the Lord. All who were destined for eternal life came to believe. And the word of the Lord continued to spread through the whole region. The Jews, however, incited the women of prominence who were worshipers and the leading men of the city, stirred up a persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their territory. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. The disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Verbum Domini. Reading from the book of Revelation. I, John, had a vision of a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation, race, people, and tongue. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. Then one of the elders said to me, "These are the ones who have survived the time of great distress. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they stand before God's throne and worship him day and night in his temple. The one who sits on the throne will shelter them. They will not hunger or thirst anymore, nor will the sun or any heat strike them. For the Lamb who is in the center of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to springs of life-giving water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Verbum Domini.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." Verbum Domini. In the history of the world, there are many powerful figures. You see, rulers and kings, great warriors. Oh, in this modern day, you know, we hear of superheroes and elite soldiers and things. But yet in the Word of God, beginning in the Old Testament, we begin to hear about a Savior starting with the prefigurements, people like Moses and David and Amos and the prophets. And they mention a shepherd, that a shepherd will come and lead God's people or lead his flock. Notice the imagery here. It's not a powerful ruler or some king or some conquistador. It is a shepherd. And why a shepherd? And Jesus calls himself a shepherd, the good shepherd, the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. And on this Good Shepherd Sunday, Jesus, as always, has a message of love for all of us. He not only communicates and gives his love, but he shows us a way that we should show love in imitation of him, the Good Shepherd. And so going back into the Old Testament, as we hear in the prophets, that there will be a shepherd who will arise, know that he will take the flock in his hand, he will carry them, he will lead them into green pastures. Now we hear this especially profoundly in the Psalm, the Good Shepherd. And then here is Jesus, calling himself the Good Shepherd. Now, a shepherd was looked down upon, frowned upon. Now, they were people who had a very low regard in society. People did not like them. Now, they were always with the sheep. And as a result of being with the sheep, they smelled like the sheep. So they were ostracized. They were among the marginalized people. And they weren't even allowed in the temple for prayers. But yet, a shepherd of the time was one who kept constant vigilance over the sheep. It was an occupation that required 24-hour vigilance. Now, they had to be ready all the time to give the sheep food, to protect them. Now, this of course took a lot of love on their part, and much patience, and even fearless courage. And as Jesus points out in the scriptures on the Good Shepherd from John chapter 10, he says that him being the Good Shepherd, know that the shepherd feeds his flock, that he is the gate, that he is the door in which we enter the sheepfold, know that he who is the shepherd takes care and provides and protects. See, and this is what the shepherds of the day were. They were always on alert, because around the sheepfold, around the gates, there were robbers, people that wanted to come and take the sheep, steal from the sheepfold. And then there were wolves and various animals that would want to come and take from the sheepfold and eat them. And so Jesus speaks about, he says that there is a thief. In these verses, Jesus says that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy the sheep. But then Jesus says that I came to give them life, and to give them life more abundantly. And he goes even further in saying that I lay down my life for these sheep. And so we see throughout the Gospels, Jesus doing so. Jesus, who is very busy doing the work, the will of the Father, proclaiming the kingdom, pouring out love in all of this, showing mercy, calling sinners. In fact, in the book of Ezekiel, when it speaks about a shepherd, it says that he comes to seek out and save the lost. And Jesus says these words in the Gospel of Luke, I come to seek out the strayed and to bring back the lost. I come to seek out the lost and bring back the strayed, he says. And that's what he's doing throughout the Gospel. Now, and remember that in Luke chapter 15, that the shepherd will leave the 99 to find the one lost sheep. And then we hear again of Jesus, who at one point, he is with the disciples, and they are busy at work. There they are. Here is Jesus tending the sheep, teaching the disciples how to do so. There they are helping him, and they're exhausted, they're tired, and they're about to go and rest. But then as they're going along, people start coming to them. And Jesus, with a compassionate, merciful heart, does not say, well, okay, I need a rest. Let's put him aside. Jesus says, no, here he is. He comes and he goes to them. He says, because they are like a sheep without a shepherd. And so Jesus, who comes to find us, calls us to himself. Now we, at first, humanity are like a sheep without a shepherd. Now, without the shepherd, the sheep themselves were lost. They were sort of disoriented. They didn't know what to do. They would just wander off, go anywhere. And so the shepherd, who would have to go and search for them, sometimes had to go and find them in some dangerous places, on cliffs, you know, or near rivers and ponds and waters and things, and he was always putting himself in danger. But he did this to save the life of the sheep. And so here is Jesus, who lays his life down. And in this particular passage today, this is a sort of the end of, almost toward the end of John chapter 10. Jesus is near the temple. Now, this was the time of the feast of the dedication of the temple. And in this feast, they were remembering and honoring the recapturing of the temple back by Antoninus Epiphanes. You can read about this in the book of Maccabees. But this sort of a very a greedy and prideful ruler, a powerful man, he took over the temple and he desecrated it. And then Joseph Maccabeus and his army, they came and retook it. And then they had to reconsecrate the temple, rededicate it to God, repurify everything. So Jesus is there at this feast. But in this here, at this feast, there was great significance. See, Jesus, earlier in John, John chapter, the end of John chapter 2, Jesus cleanses the temple. And in cleansing the temple, Jesus, of course, is scolded by the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious rulers of the time. And Jesus says that, I will tear this temple down and raise it on the third day. And what the gospel writer points out, that he was speaking of the temple of his body. You know, he is now the temple, that pointing to his death and resurrection, that on the third day he will rise again. And this is a message for each and every one of us. Because Jesus, who's already said earlier in these verses in John chapter 10, he says, I will give you abundant life. And this abundant life is the life in grace. And so here Jesus, who is the new temple, and now is broken, It dies, but then rises again. And as a result of this Paschal mystery, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we have eternal life. And in having eternal life, being given eternal life through the grace of the sacraments, beginning at baptism, now we have the Holy Spirit who comes and dwells with us. And what happens? We become a temple ourselves, a temple of the Holy Spirit. Thanks to Jesus and to him who is a life giver of abundant life. And so Jesus keeps his promises. So here is the good shepherd who was very close to his sheep during his life, public ministry of the Gospels. But here is a good shepherd who never leaves us, who's always with us. And as he promises, he says, I will be with you always till the end of time. And he is, all around us in spirit, but also within us because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And now we being temples of the Holy Spirit. So here is the great love of Jesus, caring for the sheep, laying down his life for the sheep, and then giving his life for all, and in giving his life, giving us our life, eternal life with him. And we have to look at this good shepherd. First, in seeing that how much he loves us, how patient he is, looking to his unconditional love, to his courage, to his patience, to his gentleness, to his understanding, to his kindness. And we can learn so much in who God entrusts to us and how we go about the world in the likeness of Jesus, like another Christ. No, and how we communicate, first to our home and the family. No, we can imitate the good shepherd there. No, St. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, God's flock is in your midst. Give it a shepherd's care. Watch over it willingly and lovingly. Oh, this is a great reminder here for all of us. And though not all of us are called to be leaders, but we're all called to imitate the good shepherd and how we pray for one another, how we give charity to one another and watch out and protect one another through our prayers or through even our truthful words. So we look to the good shepherd who loves us, and let him always be your inspiration, receiving his love, being open to more of this love, and imitating his virtues and his heroic courage. God bless you all.